Before we begin this evening, if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, I want us to look at verse 16, a verse that we were able to address this morning. John chapter 10, looking at verse 16, as it reads, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And this verse, I believe, is speaking of the unity between the Jews and the Gentiles under one covenant. And with that in mind, if you would please turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. He wants to read verses 21 through verses 23. And verse 21 begins, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" We're able to note John chapter 10 this morning. I had a brother bring that to me. I believe that I said that being those other sheep that are not apart or may fool themselves into thinking that they have Jesus as their shepherd, and actually had Matthew 7 verse 21 through 23 written down. But I just wanted to definitely make that correction, and as it was brought to my attention, definitely appreciate the brother for bringing that to me. So just wanted to definitely clarify, and if anything else is said, if or anything that I need to correct, I'll get right back up here and do anything that I need to do. So I appreciate that. And so getting into our lesson this evening, the title of our lesson is The Wrath of God. The Wrath of God. And having those things in mind, you know, one thing that I guess I never really thought about in preparation for this lesson is that when we think about God and who He is, we see that God has emotions. God has emotions. If we were to turn or looking at Psalm 25, looking at verse 6. Psalm 25 and verse 6 reads, "Remember me, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness." And so we see here in this verse, the Psalm of David, he imploring and asking the Lord to remember his mercy and his loving kindness. So we see compassion and the mercy that God has. And also in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, we see that the Lord says, "I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God." Again, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 15, we see that the anger of the Lord can be aroused. And so just, and we can look at other verses as well, but we see that God has emotions. God has emotions. Now, with that in mind, I want us to turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verses that we all know. Looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. We see that we are made in the image of God. And verse 26 begins, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And so we see even our emotions are things that we get from God, us being created in His image, God having emotions, and we having His emotions as well. We see us being created in the image of God. You know, that's where we get our emotions from. And so having that in mind, you know, oftentimes the world depicts God as simply, you know, just this loving person who is so caring and can get us through anything. And that is true. That is exactly true. But what we also find is that God is also a God of anger and a God of wrath. And God of anger and a God of wrath. And I want us to have a working definition for the word wrath throughout our lesson. And it is defined as anger aroused by a wrong wrongdoing, anger aroused by wrongdoing. So let us have those things in mind as we go throughout our lesson. Now, if you would please turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 18. Notice what Paul would tell the church at Rome here, beginning in verse 18. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so we see that though God's wrath is upon those without him. Upon those without him. And oftentimes, you know, we see that ungodliness is connected with worldliness. With worldliness. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 2 to really illustrate this idea. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Actually, we'll begin in verse 11, just to get a little bit of the context here. And complete our sentence. As verse 11 begins, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." And so we see, if one is not of God, then they must be of this world. We cannot have light and darkness. We cannot have God and worldliness. We have to have one or the other. We have to have one or the other. And we also see that God's wrath, his anger, is aroused against those without him, as we see that the scriptures will teach. And so we see that God's wrath has always been upon those who have left him and entered into the world, or those in the world. So I want us to turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, as we can look at the example of Noah and the flood. And let us note why God would send his wrath upon the entire world, destroying it with water. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. "And now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." And so we see that the intent, every thought, every intent of mankind was evil, was without God. And we see the result of that because the intermingling of those of God and those of the world. And with that combination, we see the result. We see the result that God was sorry that he had made man. Almost ashamed in a way of his creation. And so we see out of the entire population of the earth, and though we don't have an exact number here, we see that only 8 souls were saved. 8 out of the entire world. So we see that God is not one to be played with. God is not solely this God that is often depicted, one that would never destroy anything, never would tell someone that they're wrong. Is simply a God of love. We see that our God is also a God of wrath. And it's wrath that we better fear. It is an anger that we better fear. I want us to also turn over to Genesis chapter 19. Look at the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19. And we'll begin in verse 4. Genesis chapter 19, beginning in verse 4. As it reads, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. And see now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. And so they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. And also let us skip down to verse 24. As we see the result of Sodom and Gomorrah's continued immorality. As we can even look at in chapter 18 is Abraham would try and intercede for Sodom. And God would say, if you can find 10, there's 10 people that are righteous, I will not destroy it. But we see not even that many were there. But let's note verse 24 and verse 25. In verse 24 reads, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind and she became a pillar of salt. So we see God's wrath was even upon these two cities because of their lack of dedication, their lack of even morality towards him. And so we see as we can even make an application to ourselves and really what's going on in our country, God's wrath has always been upon homosexuality. And we can look at that in Romans, chapter 1 and in verse 27. And so when we consider these things, when we think about these things, with everything that goes on in the world soon, and I imagine it already has, and maybe I just personally haven't heard of it, it's going to creep right in here, right into the pews, right into our homes. So we must know that God has always had judgment upon those who are without him and dwell or act contrary to his word. And with that in mind, we see that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. And so the wrath of God is also against us when we intermingle with the world. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want us to note verse 14. And as it reads, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness? And we can also know 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, as it says, the evil companionship corrupts good morals. It corrupts good morals. And so when we are mindful of who God is, in the same way as the Old Testament, again, is given to us for our learning, in the same way that God's wrath was upon those who are without him and intermingled with those that are without him, it applies to us as well. It applies to us as well, because so oftentimes, and I can only speak for myself and maybe those of my age that I get to, understand more. I can't get my head around. I can't wrap my head around it when I'm speaking to a Christian my age and they tell me how their best friend is a non-Christian. That doesn't add up. doesn't add up at all. As we can see also in James chapter 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so why is it that each time when we have everything that we need as Christians, we have our brethren, we have the Word of God, we have the hope of salvation, yet the only thing that we're missing, apparently, there's no people in the world. The one people that we shouldn't be connected to. Brethren, we must know that God's wrath is upon that. Because it transcends, it goes from dating, from friendship to even dating, or even marriage and those things. And we see that God's wrath is upon him. But I want us to also note 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And then verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, as we see, Peter notes and tells us also the result of those that have left Christ. And it reads, "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to him. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallow in the mire." Whatever the reason, whatever the circumstance, whatever it is, when we leave Christ to enter back into the world, you know, it's worse. It is worse. And putting that, you know, even literally, it would have been better for us not to make the most important decision in our life to become a disciple of Christ. Just don't get in the water. All right. Just do not even become a Christian if you're going to leave Christ. That's the language that the scriptures give us. Because God is not a God to be played with. God is a God of love, but also a God of wrath. And we see that God's wrath is upon those who intermingle with the world and upon those who have no sense, ungodliness, as we would see in Romans chapter 1. Now, I want us to turn back over into Romans chapter 1 and note the second part of what Paul would tell the church at Rome in this verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Love to hear those pages turning. Love to hear them turning. Glad y'all are following along with me and know that everything I say is coming from the Word of God. This verse 18 states, "For the wrath of God is revealed, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so we see that the wrath of God is also upon unrighteousness. Those who suppress the truth in their wrongdoings. Those who know the right thing to do, but don't do it. Know the right thing to do, but do not do it. And I want to skip down to verse 21 as well. Skipping down to verse 21, as it states, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. But became futile in their thoughts, and foolish hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing to be wise, they became fools." They became fools. And so we see that these men not glorifying God as God, the God of heaven, the God of this universe, he's not God. Who is he? You know, we have so many from our those in atheists or agnostic or whatever it is, you know, who do not even recognize God, who believe that creation created itself. They're fools. We see that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so being mindful of these things, we see that God's wrath is upon unrighteousness. And we see that these men, professing to be wise, they became fools. They were filled with pride. And they became foolish due to their trust in themselves. Their trust in themselves. And we can also see that God's wrath has always been upon those who guide themselves and forget Him. And let us note Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And we will read just verse 1 through verse 3. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. As it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And so when we're mindful of, you know, this story, the situation that we're given, they were priests. Nadab and Abihu were priests, sons of Aaron. They knew exactly how to offer the proper sacrifice. They knew what they were supposed to do. They knew what they were supposed to get, and they knew how to offer it to God. But for whatever reason, they offer it against or in a different way that the Lord commanded. And we see that they were struck down. And being mindful of that and also noting, you know, the mercy of God, we see that there were ordinances and there were sacrifices for certain things that were committed. But when we, in looking at this and looking at the old law, there was no provision that was made for an unlawful sacrifice, or even thinking about us, that there was no provision that was made for you being out of the tribe of Israel and touching the ark. No provision was made. And so the result was all three of these men lost their lives instantly. God struck them dead for their disobedience to Him. God is also a God of wrath. And I want us also to turn over to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. I want us to know, you know, another story that we have with the Levites. The story of Korah and the Levites. And let us begin in verse 1. Let us begin in verse 1. As it reads, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, and the son of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men. And they arose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, each one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? And so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one who he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. And now let's skip down to verse 18. And so every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And now let's skip down to verse 28. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them from my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. And now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah with all their goods. And so they and all those that were with him went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry and said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. We see that these men were filled with their position. They were filled with it because Moses told them ahead of time. He told them ahead of time, look at verse 7. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. You're doing too much. You're doing too much. But we see that they were unattentive. And again, the result was not, you know, Now, sons of Korah, you sons of Levi, pat on it. Don't do that anymore. Don't question my servant Moses. Nope. It wasn't that. We see that God would open the earth up, swallow them up, and rain fire, or have fire come up and would consume him and all 250 that decided to take this position. Again, God is a God of wrath. A God of wrath. Now, one final example in accordance to this, I want us to also look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and concerns with Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, again, beginning in verse 1. We see also yet another example, and so many that we could look at. And beginning at verse 1, it reads, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. And so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. That was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you have sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? And look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. And so great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. And so we see that those, as we can look at with Ananias and Sapphira, lying to the Holy Spirit, we again see that the wrath of God was upon them. The wrath of God was upon him. You know, and noting, probably something that, hey, only they knew about. Hey, you know, that little possession, I can keep back a little of that. Nobody will know. We see they knew. We see that they knew, and we see that, you know, Psalm 139 tells us that the Lord knows everything that we do. Every single thing that we do. and being mindful of just simply us as human beings, you know, there is probably something that everybody has done that nobody else knows about. That nobody knows about. But God knows. God knows each and every thing that we have done, that we have thought, that we have said. And so we must be mindful of the wrath of God. And so as Christians, again, we must not put the emphasis on ourselves, but God. And I want us to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As Christians, we are to note that we simply preach the word of God as it is written. We simply preach the word of God. And I want us to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and note what Paul would tell a young Timothy, a young man, in concerns of what to do. And we're going to begin in verse 16. And it begins, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And so we see that the word of God is perfect. The word of God is perfect. You know, it doesn't need us to do things with it. We don't need to go here. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take a little bit away from it for people to hear it. No, those who desire to hear what God has said will hear it just like it is. They will hear it just like it is. And being mindful of that, we must know that, hey, we're going to be rejected. As Christians, we're going to be rejected. And we can be assured of that because Christ was rejected by most. And so let us not waver. Let us not get too bogged down when people reject us. Because no, we're following the same pattern that the one who died for our sins, the one that we have dedicated our lives to, the one that we're serving, which is doing like he's doing. We're saying what he's saying. We're going to his word. And that's all we need to do. God will give the increase. Let us never be filled with pride. And we must also note that when we are before God, it's not about us. It's not about us. You know, and kind of addressing and hearing of other people, you know, talk to people in denominations oftentimes. You know, it's so y'all don't have a choir. See, that's not good enough for me. You know, the singing's not good enough for me without the piano. You know, that's, and even with others, you know, there's not enough young people for me. And everything centers around me, 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 me. Our worship is for one another. We are here to edify one another. And in the process, we see that we build up ourselves. I cannot think, you know, of a service that, you know, I've gone to and I've not been thankful that I was able to assemble with the saints. Though there may be some difficult times, difficult, you know, lessons to hear and different things of that nature, but always thankful that we're able to assemble with the saints. We must note that it is not only about me. As we see, or as we can look at, as we saw with Kor and the Levites. Now, finally, we see that the wrath of God is upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience. I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And beginning in verse 5, we see that it reads, "For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, who has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And therefore, do not be partakers with them." And also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, another verse with that, as we see these epistles are very similar in and of themselves. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6. Saying the same things, also looking at verse 5 as well. "Therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." And so we see that these sons of disobedience are those, these are disobedient to the commands of God because they are consumed with the lust of the world. They're consumed with the lust of the world. And as Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 5 clearly said, who is an adulterer has no inheritance, as we see in the kingdom of heaven. We see that these are lost. These have gone, being attached to these worldly lust. And we see as those that are disobedient to God have always suffered His wrath. And I want us to note an example that we mentioned earlier in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, looking at the example of Uzzah. Looking at the example of Uzzah in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And beginning in verse 7, as we see the ark would be taken back, but we see it being carried on a cart, which was contrary to the commandment that God had ordained for them to carry the ark. And noting verse 7, it begins, "So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ohad drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Kidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand on the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day." And so we see, and even when we think about it in a practical sense, it's kind of like, he was just trying to help. Look, the ark was fallen. That would not be good. If the ark of the covenant fell over, it was open. So he was doing what he could, right? At the base of the matter is that it was contrary. It was against what God had said. It's that simple. God gives a command. It was broken. And again, as we've seen in other examples, the result, Uzzah lost his life right then and there. So we see that the anger, and as these verses say, the anger of the Lord, that emotion, that anger, I can't help but think of, times that I've seen my parents angry. It's not something that you enjoy. It's something that's, that can be scary. But the anger of God, it is something for us to fear. Something for us to fear. And so we see that all those who do not obey God will be lost. I want us to turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I want us to note verse 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. As it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God is a God of love, but also a God of wrath. And we see that by His judgment, by the things that He has ordained, that there will be people who go to hell. And it's a reality. It is a reality. And so being mindful of that, to make another comparison, kind of thinking about 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 20 through verse 22, as we see that some, having believed, being there with God, left like a dog returning to his own vomit. And so also, you know, thinking about Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name, done many works in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" There'll also be Christians that are lost. And it's sad to think about. It's sad to think about. It's hard to think about. I don't like thinking about it. But we better start thinking about it. We better realize that it does not matter if we've been a Christian for a year, for 10 years, for 50 years, for 70 years. We have never done too much for God that we cannot be sent to everlasting judgment. Excuse me, condemnation. Nobody's too good for it. And so we must continue to dwell in the favor of God by continuing to do the commandments that He said, like He has said it. Like He has said, you know, I'm mindful of a congregation kind of near our area who kind of went down the path of, you know, taking off their sign for the building. Well, you know, when people see Church of Christ, they get a little, you know, turned off. They get a little turned away. So we're just going to have church that meets here. We don't want that association. We got to get people in. We got to get them in. It's not about us getting them in. We see that we simply water, as Paul would actually say, "I water." God gives the increase. And oftentimes, simply the simple commandments to simply assemble are too hard for us. They're too hard. You know, we can, if you look on the backboard, we see that the number kind of changes. Now, we also note there are some that may go in different places that may encourage other congregations. Be mindful of that. We're aware of that. Those aren't the ones I'm talking about. Brethren, we need to remember that God could come at any time. Anytime. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I think we're about to read some verses in concern to that. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 first. Hebrews chapter 10. It's a few more verses and then the lesson is yours. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to begin in verse 26. As it reads, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy under the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. The Lord will judge his people." And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I want us to also turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, as we're able to look at chapter 2, I want us to now look at chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. And it reads, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away in a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And so we see that God will come as any time, as we see a thief in the night. And thinking about Hebrews chapter 10, you know, those verses almost make us shudder. Make us shudder, knowing that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as we can see throughout the Scriptures. But if these verses do not give us comfort, I implore you that something is not right in your life. Because we may have another 30 seconds, literally another 5 minutes. We don't know. But we better be ready. Because if we're not ready, I'm here to tell us that we will face the wrath of God. We will face the wrath of God. And so if we do have time, being mindful of those things, anything that you need to handle, anything that you need to fix, do it now. Because it may be too late a little later on. We can't push everything off. We can't push everything off. And finally, I want us to turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I want us to read verses 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5. And Jesus, speaking to a multitude of people here, says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." And so for each and every one of us, let us fear God and His wrath, because we can see, as Jesus said, fear Him who can cast into hell, and that's Him. He is the judge. And to maybe, you know, our point earlier, you know, to those that have not, or that are maybe in denominations, or things that are doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, have the love for them, because you better know that they are lost. Those in denominations are lost. And hopefully that is a bad thing. And so we as Christians need to be preaching the Word. Preaching the Word. Using the Word of God, as Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Preach it like it is. Tell them about it. Because if we don't do that, we see, then we're judged. We're going to give account for everything that we've done. And so let us hope and live lives that are pleasing to God. And I implore you now to say that in order to get to heaven, we better fear hell. We must fear hell in order to get to heaven. And so if you are here this evening, and there is something that has caused you to not become a disciple of Christ, I hope that you will do so tonight by hearing the Word of God and believing the things which He has said through His divine will. And we see by repenting of those things that you have committed And knowing and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and being baptized into his body, you enter into a life of servitude for him. But we see that the result of the tribulation and things that you will suffer is eternal life. And it's worth anything that you will go through here on this earth. Or if you are a Christian and something again has separated you from the grace of God and maybe something that you need to make right of a public nature, I ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.